Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We're going to be covering AEW's brand new show, Collision, and what we might be able to expect from it and what really brought it about and if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll be discussing the reign of Roman Reigns and where things are going from here. But the crux of today's show, folks, with Night of Champions just around the corner next Saturday, and Seth Rollins being heavily favored to win that big title match for the new Raw Championship against AJ Styles. There's been some recent activity there that would indicate that perhaps the WWE may have to call an audible on this one due to the fact that Seth Rollins may be too risky to hand that title to. Now, when we say too risky, it's not risky in the ring. Seth Rollins is someone who, yes, he did have an incident with Finn Balor. Yes, he did have an incident with John Cena. But for the most part, Seth Rollins is a very, very, very safe worker, a very careful worker, and someone no one is afraid to work with. It's not what we're talking about when we're saying risky. Seems though Seth Rollins may be taking, well, he has one Hollywood obligation, and he may be taking another. And if that's the case, that could put Seth Rollins in a position where Seth Rollins, much like Roman Reigns, is somewhat of a part-timer. And if Seth Rollins becomes a part-timer, I mean, that kind of negates why you wanted to have a champion. Now, look, there's people, and they're saying rightfully so, that AJ Styles is going to probably be somewhat like that. He said he wants a reduced schedule. So with that in mind, we're going to try to dissect this a little bit. Apparently, Seth Rollins has a part in the new Captain America movie, which is called New World Order. I believe he's playing a villain in this Serpent Society group that's in the movie. And we're not really sure exactly how long these obligations are going to take. I don't think it's a huge, gigantic part that's going to take months and months and months. But nonetheless, coming off of something like that, much like Batista or much like other people who just had small parts and then all of a sudden they're offered bigger movies, Seth Rollins could end up having some obligations and possibly wanting some obligations in Hollywood. And if that's the case, is it risky for the WWE then to hand this belt over to Seth Rollins? It's interesting that it comes at this time. It's interesting that it comes at the time when people are saying, well, it's a moot point. Seth Rollins is obviously going to win. So could this be somewhat of a bluff? Could they have already worked this out, that Seth Rollins is going to be basically finished filming the Captain America movie, has no other obligations for a certain amount of months? Yes, that is very possible. But in the long run, I would suggest that they are probably going to try to lead up to Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. We've said for a long time that's where the money is. This, I do believe that the Cody Rhodes ship has sailed on this. And by that, I mean there's still more people interested in Sami Zayn taking on Roman Reigns then there is Cody Rhodes taking on Roman Reigns. They've kind of separated them. It's obvious that they don't think that Cody is the guy right now. I think they've realized they're going to give him a little bit of time, see if the crowd reaction remains hot, see how things go when he's in a couple other feuds. He's got Brock Lesnar right now. He'll probably have somebody coming off of Lesnar. And then they'll judge things on a month-by-month basis. But I think the WWE realized maybe this isn't the proper thing, and to just hand him the belt. Now, they could always do it. You could easily have Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes, number what, 3, 4, whatever it is. You could have Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. You could have AJ Styles drop the belt right away and Cody Rhodes go for the belt against someone else. But I do think the WWE may be looking down the barrel of waiting a little while before Cody Rhodes gets his hands on the title. So with that in mind, what do you do here if you're the WWE? You clearly know that Roman Reigns wants a reduced schedule. He's not going to be defending his belt all that much, especially on television. He's not going to be defending it basically at all. And presume that's why you made this secondary title. So there is a champion front and center. And if that's not going to be the case, then I'm not really sure what the point was. Now, they had to know before this tournament that Seth Rollins had this movie commitment, and they obviously did. So I'm not really worried necessarily about the Captain America movie. I think they understood. That's why, by the way, Seth Rollins has only been doing the interviews on the last couple of shows. He hasn't been doing any actual in-ring stuff because those were pre-taped so he could go do the movie. But again, you know, if the acting bug bites, and sometimes this happens, folks. You have to understand, it's not like Seth Rollins has been in the business a year. Seth Rollins has been in the business a long, long time. Seasoned veteran now. Getting into those years where if he does want to make a career change or slide into perhaps the world of acting or Hollywood, now's the time, not 8 years from now. And if that's the case, he may want a reduced schedule from the WWE so he could say yes to more picture commitments. If that's the case, is it too risky to hand him this championship right now? Would it be a better avenue to hand it to AJ Styles, clearly knowing Styles wants a reduced schedule, but he's coming off an injury where he had no schedule. So you're probably okay with him for a few months. And you could always take it off of AJ Styles and give it to somebody else after the 3 months or whatever it is that he wants to return to that reduced schedule. This has cast a shadow of doubt on what is going to happen on Night of Champions. I would have said there's a 99.9% chance Seth Rollins is going to win this, almost 100% going in. Now, I'm not 100% sure because they do have a couple of avenues they can go by. Giving it to AJ Styles is not ideal. I don't think AJ Styles right now is at the peak of his popularity. That's number one. Number two, I think it makes the OC, while it would raise their visibility, it also makes the OC look like the extraordinarily weak links in their faction, because the OC hasn't managed to do anything as a tag team. They're not even contenders for a title at this point. Mia Yim has been a virtual punching bag. So really, it's almost like the OC is a jabron faction with a really, really, really good leader. And if they give AJ Styles the title, it's almost underlining that, saying, well, I mean, AJ Styles is carrying these people on his back. Anderson and Gallows are just, you know, nowhere to be found without AJ. Mia Yim is lost without the OC behind her. I think it might undermine them. You know, I've had the discussion, would it raise them, elevate them, or undermine them? It would raise their visibility, but I think it undermines them because I don't think the WWE has plans to make them look tough. They ran with Mia Yim. It didn't work. Nobody cheered for her. Nobody got behind her. The OC, as far as Anderson and Gallows, it just didn't light up. It just didn't. AJ's obviously the person from that group that the WWE have the most confidence in. But again, you don't want the rest of them to be hangers-on. Virtual jabrons who just like, oh, our buddy's the champion. We can't win, but our buddy's the champion. So I don't know if you want that. On the other hand, do you want another part-time champion? Because I would be very, very cautious if I was the WWE that if Seth Rollins does very well. See, Hollywood's a weird place where you make your inroads very quickly. So in other words, if Seth Rollins takes this small part, however small it is, in Captain America and does very well, and the director says, it was really good. I mean, you know, he was a natural. There's fight scene. He, you know, was a natural for that. Next thing you know, they all know each other, all the directors and all the producers and all everybody knows everybody. And they'll say, oh, you know, Seth Rollins, throw him in this one, throw him in that one, throw him in this one. It may be bit parts, but it still takes time. And if Seth Rollins gets that bug and says, I want to accept these parts, then you've just barely created a title that technically he doesn't necessarily want. And number two, you've created a title that clearly is a consolation prize, by the way. Now, when you did this, I really thought you did this to give it to Seth Rollins so Roman Reigns could keep saying, this is a consolation prize. No one could beat me. So they had to create a belt for the also-ran. That way Seth Rollins could say, well, I don't know. I wasn't given a fair shot. I really thought this was a slow build to what would be a WrestleMania title unification. I'm not so sure of that anymore, Mike. I'm not sure what direction the WWE wants to go here.
I'm not sure either, and here's the deal. Remember a few years back when Charlotte Flair got that bit part on what was eventually going to be the ending of the show, one of these shows on, like, USA, right? And everybody was like, after she did so well on that program, and just recently everybody was saying, well, they're making a new version of whatever, whatever that thing was that The Rock was in with the guy with the board. I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but it was going to be a TV show, and she was going to be the main character. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but if it will happen, I don't know. But they still have, she's still young enough, and she still can do that if she wants to. Now, you know, Becky Lynch has plans to try Hollywood at some point. So this could not only cost them him, if he does well enough and he says, okay, he goes to one of these directors and says, I'm going to walk out.
And we're losing your phone for some reason. We're losing you on the phone. Can't hear your voice. It's breaking up. But I think you were saying, you know, Becky Lynch could jump in there too. Yeah, absolutely. And Becky Lynch has already been in, you know, admittedly a WWE movie, one of the Marine movies, but still she's been in it. So, yeah, I mean, listen, this is what ends up happening when you're a pro wrestler, right? At a certain point, you say, how many lumps am I going to take in my 30s? Before I say, I'm just about ready to hang this up anyway, and what do I do afterwards? And if you have the acting bug, you strike while the iron is hot because, you know, right now Seth Rollins is a big name. See, a director can put you in a movie. This is the thing. If tomorrow somebody, I don't care if they can act or they can't act, if tomorrow a really huge name in the sports world or even in music or whatever said, I would like to be in a movie. Someone's going to give me the opportunity because they got a built-in fan base. Now they may not give them a starring role. They may not build a film around them, but they're going to put them in because they're going to say, oh, well, his fan base will come see him or her, which is right. But then if that person does really well, then that's when things start to get a little crazy. That's what happened with Roman Reigns, right? He got a relatively small part in a Fast and Furious movie. And everyone said, well, he did very well. Easy to work with, can do the fight scenes, has a high profile, built-in fan base. X amount of people are going to go see the movie irregardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent because he's in it. These are all positive things. I mean, if you're a producer and you're putting big money into a film and you're saying, well, we can get the whole WWE market by just simply throwing a WWE superstar into this movie. Okay, fair enough. That's good. But then if you find out and they're actually really good, well, that's even better. How do you think this happened for The Rock? This is exactly how things happened for The Rock. They didn't realize quite how good he was going to be, right? And then other things started to add up, like, well, he can kind of be his own choreographer when it comes to fight scenes and things. And I remember that infamous story about the Mummy movie where he was scheduled to fight, who was it, Keith David or whoever. And normally they would do a fight scene in several hours, which costs a lot in production. Because they break up everything. They say, okay, set a few cameras, do this thing, stop. Now we're going to shoot this, stop. Now we're going to shoot this, stop. And then they blend it all together in the editing room to like one big long fight normally. And apparently Dwayne Johnson had said, we don't really need to do this. Bring all the cameras, get every angle you want, and we'll just do it. We'll just do it. And because he's so used to doing that, see, Hollywood is not used to doing that. Actors are not used to doing that. Wrestlers do it every day, every single day. And if Keith David, whoever the other star happens to be, can follow suit, you can get this thing done in a couple of takes. Saves big money. That's exactly what happened during the filming of The Mummy. And then people start really sitting up and taking notice, saying, well, wait a minute. We're getting a very popular celebrity. We're getting a guy who's a pretty good actor. We're getting a guy who's a pretty good choreographer and can do a lot of his own fight scenes. We're getting a lot of bonuses if we hire somebody like this. Then he became popular with the fans and the moviegoers who said, well, I'm not a real big wrestling fan, but I like him. And the next thing you know, he's Hollywood's top paid actor. It happens. It happened to a lesser extent with John Cena. So could it happen with somebody like, and it's happening with Batista, could it happen with somebody like Seth Rollins? Absolutely could. Absolutely could. It's just a matter of the individual. I mean, there are people who are in this business because they want to be a professional wrestler and they have absolutely zero interest in anything else except wrestling. End of conversation. But just like we were discussing people like MJF, who would prefer to be a superstar rather than just a pro wrestler. There are people who got into this business because they love wrestling, but they want to be a star. Well, it depends. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to see some of these people. You know, I don't think you're going to see Gunther in a movie anytime soon. If you are, it'll, you know, be as a heavy in a small part or whatever. He's not getting a ton of lines and whatever. He's a wrestler. He wants to be a wrestler. There are people who are like that. But Seth Rollins, you can tell. You can tell. Seth Rollins enjoys the over-the-top characters. He enjoys doing the, you know, the different personalities and things like that. He just doesn't want to be Seth Rollins. He doesn't want to be, like Cody Rhodes, for instance, was tried the movies, right? It didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because Cody Rhodes is just Cody Rhodes. He did an okay job with Stardust, but what did he say? I don't really like it. Well, what are you talking about? See, that would have been something that Seth Rollins would have said, hey, absolutely love it. You know, I can really stretch my acting skills here and do this and do that and do the other thing. Cody at heart is a wrestler who wouldn't have minded trying Hollywood, I guess. Didn't work out for him. Certainly worked out for John Cena. Certainly worked out for The Rock. It worked out for Roddy Piper and Batista and, you know, several people. The Miz, you know. So bottom line is, how much involvement does Seth Rollins want in something like this? And before you hand him a belt, before you hand him a title, I'm sure the WWE has worked out that he's going to keep it to at least a certain amount. So I do still think he's going to win this. I think they're trying to cast a little bit of shadow of doubt and at the same time give him a little bit of publicity for the upcoming movie. That doesn't hurt. I mean, if you're the producers of the new Captain America movie and Seth Rollins has a big title match coming up, what would be the best thing you could possibly imagine happening? AJ Styles beating him? Or Seth Rollins winning and being a champion who is now currently in a released movie? That's something else you got to factor in there, Todd. So, you know, I still think Seth is winning. But in the long run, unless it's a short-term championship reign of a few months or maybe till WrestleMania or whatever, I'm not 100% sure if he's not a little bit risky to hand that title to.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Seth Rollins getting a movie part in the movie of one of the Captain Americas, or one of the Marvel movies. And like you said, I remember back in 1982, Rocky III, when Hulk Hogan made his silver screen debut as Thunder Lips in a small part. And look at him now as a big celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time. Happens all the time. So, again, we'll see what ends up happening here. My personal opinion is this. I think the WWE sort of released this thing to cast a little bit of doubt because people were saying the main event, and this will certainly be the main event, of Night of Champions is going to be boring because it's quite obvious that Seth Rollins is winning and everybody knows it. So now they said, well, you know, if we release the movie thing and say we don't know what's going to happen with him in the upcoming several months, maybe fans will say, oh, well, they're going to give it to AJ. But again, where do you go if you give it to AJ? This is why I say, and again, AJ Styles is currently my favorite wrestler in the WWE. But I do not see where you would go with AJ Styles. I just don't. AJ Styles versus who? I don't see it. Seth Rollins, I can see the branches on the tree. I can see them starting feuds with several people and then leading into this thing where Roman Reigns says it doesn't matter because it's just a consolation prize title. Somebody like him can never beat somebody like me. And then, you know, you see where this is going, right? It has a story that writes itself, Mike. So I still think Seth is probably taken.
It still writes itself, but the other problem is, okay, what happens if, okay, the movie's about, that movie's just about release right now, the Captain America movie, right? It's almost released. What happens if they find out that he's already got another movie lined up, and it's a bigger part, okay? That could happen too, you know, and also there are other guys in the company that have a charisma about them that they've given multiple things to do, and they've done them well. See Otis, that might have a shot at some point going into acting. I think Otis has a shot at some point going into acting because they've given him almost crap to do, and he's made it look good, and sometimes very good stuff. He makes it look great, right?
Yeah, the only problem with Otis is, you know, his size. I remember when Roddy Piper was doing the They Live movie and they told him, you got to lose a ton of weight. And he wasn't heavy. Roddy Piper, I don't think, was much more than 240 his whole career. And they said, the problem is you're so much bigger than everybody else that it looks weird. So you're going to have to drop. What is Otis going to play? Otis can only play certain things. Almost like Batista can only play certain things, almost like Hogan. See, that's the thing. Hogan, you know, say what you want about his acting ability. He got most of his films because he was Hulk Hogan, and people were going to go see his movie regardless of what it was. Batista's starting to get a reputation of, well, you know, he can act. We can get him in certain situations, but let's face it, how much does he do in Guardians of the Galaxy? You know, we know why he's there. The Rock, on the other hand, he's done the comedies, he's done the action stuff, he's done the dramas, he's done basically everything else. John Cena, too, you see the weight he's lost when into the movies. Otis would be somebody like a Batista where you say, well, you got a limited role. I'm not 100% sure Seth Rollins has that problem. He's not that big. You know, I don't know what they list Seth Rollins at, but I'm guaranteeing you he's not a pound over 215 in real life. And at 6'1", and with that kind of CrossFit physique, you put him in a outfit and he don't look, he don't really look that big. See, he's got that bonus going on where if you want him to just play, I don't know, a gangster or something, and you put him in a suit, okay, he looks like a tall gangster. You want him to be some kind of a superhero or supervillain, and he tears the shirt off, you know, the camera adds pounds, and all, and you know how actors are. These actors are 160. So all of a sudden, he's like, oh, that's a big dude, when he's not really that big. I mean, remember Randy Savage in the Spider-Man movie, right? Randy Savage looked like a giant. Randy Savage was not that big. So there's that bonus there going on. The Miz is kind of like that, too. You know, you can put The Miz in a movie, he's not that big. So whatever actors you're putting him with, he doesn't look like a giant compared to them. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. Derek's asking, am I sure that's the main event? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think they're probably going to do the tag team titles first. But I'm not even sure that that clause makes any difference when it comes to Saudi Arabia. I'm not 100% sure. Now, they may do Seth Rollins and AJ Styles before the Usos, but I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because if they do, then you have really made that title look like a consolation prize. It's not even more important than the tag team titles. Your Raw champion is not even more important than the tag team titles. That would be absurd. Absolutely absurd. Plus, you are going to crown a new champion, no matter who wins. You're not crowning a new champion with these tag team titles. You're just not. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa is not winning this. So now you have to ask yourself, how do you want to end this pay-per-view? With no new champions being crowned, maybe a storyline, something happening. Or do you want to end it with Seth Rollins holding, being the first guy to hold that title, raising it above his head? I would assume that's the way you want to end it. If that's the case, then Roman Reigns and Solo have got to go first, which I don't necessarily think they would think is a bad thing, because maybe they're going to take a separate flight out of there. You know, it's a long, long, long way back home. And no, they don't necessarily have to appear Monday night. They're SmackDown guys, but still. Still. So, yeah, we'll see. Now, the reverse could be true. It is true that the Raw champions, they got to be on the show the next night. Maybe they do want to go first. But if I'm a promoter and I know that Roman Reigns is not winning the tag team title with Solo, how do I make that the main event? Oh, you lost. Okay. And that's it. See you later. As opposed to that moment where, oh, for the first time we have a new champion and it's Seth Rollins or it's AJ Styles. And you have that moment where they're raising the belt and there's fireworks going off or whatever's happening. That sort of seems like the way you want to end. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know, because Saudi Arabia is a weird thing, and who knows what they're going to do. There's a whole bunch of things that has nothing to do with wrestling that might make a decision on who goes first. But ideally, that's what should happen. That's what I'm saying. Ideally, that championship should be worth more than the tag team championship. So, Mike, I do think that they probably will try to get Seth Rollins and AJ last.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that would be the best thing to do. But like you said, it's Saudi Arabia. And, well, whatever would happen if it was happening here might not happen if it's happening in Saudi Arabia in terms of where they put the matches on the card and what starts out and what finishes up, because Saudi Arabia, and they figure, well, it's a throwaway thing. Even though, I tell you what, I'm fully expecting there's going to be a big pop for Sammy when he goes there, because there was a big pop for him, even though he didn't show up the last time. So anyway, yeah. And one other thing about this whole weight thing and acting, over the last, say, year or whatever it was, we've talked about how thin Becky Lynch is, right? How thin she's looked, right? Maybe, just maybe, she knows that she's going to get some parts at some point, and they told her, well, you're already big to begin with, and you're having a baby, and you're going to be big, and you're going to have to drop some weight to get these parts. Maybe that's why she dropped the weight.
Well, it's very possible, because whether it's right or it's wrong, it's up for debate, but it's even worse with women. So in other words, if you're a muscular woman, if you were like a Bianca Belair, it's going to be hard for you. That's what you've got, is a superhero part. And that's about it. Are you going to be the mom whose kid is kidnapped? No, because you don't look like a typical mom. Oh, you're a typical mom that does what? Power lifter? No. So they don't want you. They don't want you for that role. Oh, are you the woman who finds out her husband is having an affair and you know? No, because you don't look like the typical housewife. See, there's only certain things you can do. That's the problem. With a man, right or wrong, there are other things you can do. If you're a guy like Batista, they put the paint on you and you don't even need the muscle suit or whatever. You look like a big, gigantic dude, which is what you are. So, but they don't want a woman like that necessarily. But again, I mean, when you talk to some of these actors, they will tell you flat out, guys like Kevin Nash and stuff said, well, who am I supposed to play? Almost 7 foot tall. Am I going to play a teacher in a movie where, you know, one of my prize students is going out for some kind of a, you know, sports trophy? No. Because I just look too big compared to the other actors. Am I going to be a doctor in a hospital? No. This is the thing. You're relegated to, I play a monster or a superhero or some big gigantic villain. That's about what you can do. I could see Otis as a James Bond villain. You know, something like that. But can you imagine, you know, going into to see a movie and they go, okay, well, Otis is just like the husband of a lady who's going to, you know, run a marathon race and there's going to be some drama about her. No, you can't do that. It's not going to make sense. People are going to be like, well, why is this guy a giant? Directors don't like that. They want you to be every, you know, Michael Caine, one of my favorite actors, said there's a difference between an actor and a screen presence. And he humbly said, I'm not saying one is better than the other. Someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger is a screen presence. He basically always plays the same character, but he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nobody could step into that role. I certainly couldn't play the Terminator. I certainly couldn't play a commando. I certainly couldn't play certain ones of his roles because no one would believe me in them. I don't look like that. However, an actor is someone who remains so innocuous in the way he looks that you can pretty much put him in any role. Michael Caine can be Alfred the butler. He can be a surgeon. He can be a librarian. He can be a spy. He can be a doctor. He can be whatever you want him to be because that he looks like whatever you want him to be. There's nothing that stands out about his presence. Now, Stallone's made a great career, but he looks the way he looks. He's only going to get certain roles. Schwarzenegger, same way. Steven Seagal, the same way. Jean-Claude Van Damme, the same way. These are screen presence people. So most wrestlers are just screen presence people. They're people who look a certain way, and so they can fit a certain role. They're not actors per se who you can say, well, they can fit in any role I want to give them. I remember, this has a slight wrestling reference, David Arquette. I watched David Arquette in Ready to Rumble, and I watched him in the Scream movies, and I watched him in some other stuff, and I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this guy. It's a 30-something-year-old guy who plays a teenager all the time, some goofy-ass, dumb chucklehead. And when is he going to grow up and just be an actor and stop trying to be a 16-year-old chucklehead and, you know, when he's 35? I then saw a direct-to-DVD movie called The Gray Zone, and it was about Nazi Germany and the death camps, where he played a Jewish trustee whose basic job was to get the Jews to cooperate in return for the safety of his family. And during one particular horrible sequence where a girl survived the showers, he was the person who threw them into the incinerator. And when he realized she was alive, he said, I can't do that. And he hit her. And as I'm watching this movie, I'm saying, this guy's a very, very good actor. Why in the blue hell is he doing Eight-Legged Freaks and Scream and Ready to Rumble if he can do this? And the answer is, well, you know, he got stereotyped, but he can do it. Now put Otis in that position. Are you going to believe that Otis is a guy in the Nazi death camp? No. Are you? This is the thing. Really good actors are almost like invisible, where you can just say, I can imagine them in any role, and they could probably fit in. The other half of that is screen presence. So usually your best actors are average height, average weight, average looks. Nothing unusual, too unusual. Nothing too unusual. Because if you do have that unusual, now he's a very big guy, he's super muscular, or he's very, very tall, you then have cut down, you've limited your roles. And this is why I'm saying Seth Rollins is kind of on the cusp. He's not incredibly tall. I think he's 6 foot or 6 foot one. Not incredibly heavy, although for Hollywood, he's probably 25 pounds heavier than most, or 30. You could still fit him in certain things. He's still not going to be playing a surgeon in a drama movie. He's not going to be playing, you know, a teacher in a feel-good, you know, movie. He's still going to be playing action people. He's still probably going to be a screen presence. Same way with The Rock. But he has a better chance at getting more diverse roles, I think, Mike, than somebody the size of Hulk Hogan or Batista.
Right. Think about it this way now. You look at he's having his problems now with his disease, but you look at Bruce Willis. He did a number of these, the diehards, and then he did, like, The Sixth Sense, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, he did The Sixth Sense. And then look at the guy who's in the Die Hard with him, the first Die Hard with him, Reginald Bell Johnson, big guy, you know, big black. No, it doesn't have to do with him being black, but bigger guy, you know. All he did in Family Matters, he played the father, but he played a cop. He played a cop in Die Hard. I mean, not to say that he can't play in it. Reginald Bell Johnson couldn't play any other role, but that's what he got typecast as, right?
So, see, well, that's the difference. Look at Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill was always a tough guy, gangster, cop, whatever. Then all of a sudden he's Al Bundy. And that worked out fine. But Hulk Hogan ain't going to be Al Bundy. Otis isn't going to be Al Bundy. Kevin Nash isn't going to be Al Bundy for the obvious reasons. They don't look it. Now, Derek is saying, well, China was big and got all kinds of movie roles. I don't know how many movie roles she got. I don't remember seeing any. But if she did, I can guarantee you that they were exactly what I said, which is some C-movie Valkyrie, Viking princess, superhero, supervillain monster. Okay? China's not going to get the part of, Tom Cruise's love interest in Days of Thunder. Why? Because she doesn't look it. She doesn't look it. Now, I could name you 100 actresses who could have gotten that part, and probably 500 went out for the part. What's the difference? The difference is the way they look. There are directors, here's what you got to understand. There are directors who have such strict casting requirements. It's literally like a girl between 5'3 and 5'6 got to be this age, and between this age and this age, has to be between this many pounds and this many pounds, and they're all doing it because of who you're working with. Tom Cruise is a very short guy. So they do not want a girl who towers over him. So if you're more than a certain height, you're not working in a Tom Cruise movie. Simple as that. That this is the way they go. Now, if I'm casting, okay, well, we have our cast together. And they all go camping in the woods. And this giant lumberjack psychomaniac returns from the dead with a giant axe to stalk them in the woods. Yeah, I might go for Kevin Nash for that. I might go for Batista for that. Because, hey, I don't have to do a little camera magic and make a 5'9" actor look like he's 6'5", right? But at the end of the day, you know, it always cracked me up. I'm a big horror film fan, and people are like, oh, well, I like, you know, I like when Kane Hodder played Jason. I'm like, what the hell is the difference? You put the mask on, you don't know who the fuck is under the mask. Only one is a guy that's like 6'2" or 6'3" that makes the teenage kids in the movie look small, and you just walk around. So you could do roles like that. But roles like that are not going to get you, you know, super notoriety in Hollywood. They can get anybody to do that. See, when you're casting the Captain America movie and you want a villain, the first guys you look at, you say, well, let's see if we can find some bodybuilders. Let's see if we can find some guys who are, you know, martial artists or something. Oh, this guy's got a good physique. He's about 5'9" or 6 foot tall. He's pretty ripped. Anybody know who he is? Nah, he's just some martial artist, local guy. Okay. Well, you know, Seth Rollins might be interested, and he's like the number one guy on wrestling right now, and he's got a huge fan base who will definitely go see the movie if he's in it. Well, who do you think's getting a role? Who do you think's getting a role? But that's based on he don't need to do much. I guarantee you go to see this Captain America movie. If he has 10 lines in the movie, I will be shocked. His job is going to be to beat people up and look menacing. And he's not even that big. Now, he can make a big living doing that. But I'm just saying, it's worse for women. Because the women roles for these type of characters aren't high. How many gangster movies have you seen where the hitman is a woman? How many gangster movies have you seen where the tough guys that go in and break people's arms for not paying back alone are women? Almost none. All the tough guys, strong arm, mean, whatever, they're all men usually. And what did Becky Lynch play in the Marine? Did she play a damsel in distress? No. Played the bad guy, right? That's what I mean. So for women, it's worse. For women, you have to have a certain look. I mean, let's be brutally honest. This isn't obviously a talk show about movies, but let's be brutally honest. How many horribly unattractive women do you see as lead actresses? The answer is zero. There's plenty of horribly unattractive men who got major, major roles in huge movies. It doesn't matter that much. It just doesn't. Women are held to a different standard in Hollywood. Becky Lynch fits that standard. If she, like Mike said, if she's dropped that weight and she's not that tall anyway, she could fit into certain roles. Is she going to play, you know, the mother of some autistic child who's, you know, in a tearjerker movie? No. Because they don't want her to play that. Because they want her audience to come see it. Look at They Live. Do you think for 1 minute John Carpenter wrote this movie and said, okay, in the alleyway, the two guys are going to have a fight. And that fight's going to include suplexes, clotheslines, belly-to-belly suplexes? No. John Carpenter was smart enough to say, I hired a wrestler. And a very popular one. Fans are going to come to see him. They're going to want to see him fight, and I got a fight scene in this movie. So I might as well let him do a few of his moves because the fans are going to pop. Fans are going to say, oh, that's awesome that he did some wrestling moves in there, right? So he did. You think that script was originally written that way? No way. No way. We already know that the line of come here to chew bubblegum and I'm all out of bubblegum was 100% Roddy Piper's because John Carpenter said so. And he said, I knew very early on it was best to let Roddy kind of riff, and if he came up with some good stuff, leave it in because that's what the fan base is going to want to see. They've come here to see a Roddy Piper movie. And if I make Roddy Piper totally not Roddy Piper, everybody's going to be disappointed, right? So it's the same thing. You're going to go see Seth Rollins in a movie. You're going to be like, oh, cool, he's the bad guy, and he's kicking people's asses. That'll be fun. As opposed to, oh, he's the husband of this woman who's, I don't know, moving up in the business world, and he's home watching the child and has an affair with the next-door neighbor. Who wants to see that? Wrestling fans are going to be like, I don't want to see that. So why waste your time with Seth Rollins? You wouldn't. You want that audience to come in, the Fast and the Furious audience, right? Throw in a wrestler, and they'll come in and see it. That's what you want. So Seth Rollins has got a chance at that kind of thing, Todd. And if he already has some things lined up, then the WWE, I presume, has already knows about it. And if he wins that title, I suppose, they've agreed to it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the WWE, if they know about this, and like you said, it's going to have to be with Seth Rollins as the champion.
Well, now, Derek's come up with a list of movies China was in, and three of them are porn. Three of them are porn movies, Derek. By that standard, Sonny's been in four or five movies. None of those movies count. She wasn't cast in any major movies, which is what I didn't think she was. Becky Lynch has more acting credits than China as far as legit movies, because porn don't count. One Night in China, Daughter China, porn. And by the way, she did some other porn stuff. She did a bunch of like S&M sort of porn stuff where she was like a dominatrix. They were a dime a dozen for a while when she was struggling with her finances, and that's hardly what I would call taking Hollywood by storm. As opposed to, you know, John Cena. How many successful, as a matter of fact, Trish Stratus has made some. Bounty Hunter she was in. John Morrison's made many. Morrison did a remake of Hercules. He did Sinbad. He did a fairly decent movie where he was a celebrity. I believe it was a hunter or like one of those outdoor guys, and he really was the exact opposite of it. He was sort of a pampered, you know, playboy type, and they got shipwrecked on an island. And the idiot that was there was some actual former Nazi guy who hunted humans, and he made him go on a hunt to see if he could hunt down Morrison and the girl he was with. Morrison's done a lot of movies. But again, what's every single movie that Morrison has done? I'm Hercules. I'm Sinbad. I'm the guy who's going to kick the shit out of the bad guy. So again, these are screen presences and almost by nature because that's what wrestling fans want to see. It's not even just wrestlers. Would you go see a movie if I said, okay, here's the movie. Two couples go to a resort in, I don't know, Tahiti. And the one woman has a terrible accident. And they're forced to stay there. And the drama is she going to survive? And is her husband going to be able to deal with the stress? And the lead actor is Jason Statham. Do you know any Jason Statham fans are going to see that movie? Two, Jason Statham is going to take on a prehistoric shark with a spear. Yep, going to go see that one. See how that works? That's why a lot of people don't want to be stereotyped into that who are good actors. And by the way, Jason Statham is a very good actor. If you are a fan of Statham and you don't necessarily want to just see him fight, go get the movie The Bank Job, where he plays the lead. I guess you would call him the lead. He's not really the villain in the movie because there are way many worse people than him, but he is a bank robber. And him and a group of his childhood friends decide to rob some safety deposit boxes and get the wrath of the mob and some other people after him because he gets some important information. There's not one fight scene until the end of that movie, and that fight scene isn't a typical Jason Statham fight scene. It's all a caper film. And he doesn't play a superhero, and he doesn't play a badass. He plays a guy who wants to rob a bank. And he was excellent. It was a fantastic movie. But your average Jason Statham fan goes to see that movie and says, I was disappointed. He didn't kick the hell out of 40 people. Yeah. Well, again, that's why Jason Statham's opportunities are fighting a mega shark and not being, you know, a serious actor. He said in his own interviews, I don't really consider myself an actor because I'm basically always playing the same type of guy. That's what the wrestlers are good for in Hollywood. But it doesn't matter because the money spends the same. So if you're Seth Rollins and you're like, well, I'm making really big money here in the WWE, but at any given moment, I could be the next Edge with my neck broken. I could be the next Big E with my neck broken. I could be the next whoever. Shawn Michaels with my back, and or, you know, Mick Foley, who can barely walk without a cane. I could be that next guy. Or I'm relatively healthy now. I feel good. I could go do Hollywood, make just as much money, probably be more famous. What do you do? What do you do? So that's the WWE's dilemma. The WWE for a while opened up their own film studio, Mike, so that they could kind of satiate that hunger in their wrestlers and say, well, we'll make you a film. We'll make you one. But that didn't work out so well. So, I mean, you know, when you get to be somebody, put it this way. If Seth Rollins gets really good reviews for this, if you think for 1 minute that he wouldn't drop that title in a heartbeat and say, see you later, I think he would.
I think he would, too, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I'm looking at Brigitte Nielsen, who obviously she's an Amazon, right? And looking down her filmography, like Red Sonja, Rocky IV, Cobra, and things of that nature, we all know what they play, and she's a big, tall girl, right? It's Brigitte Nielsen. So
yeah.
So think about it. What kind of parts is somebody like a Charlotte Flair gonna get? Or to put it bluntly, yeah, she's not as tall as Charlotte Flair, but Bianca Belair. Because now, could Bianca Belair drop some weight? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could do that. She could drop weight, but does she want to do that? Because I mean,
yeah, see, I'm not so sure. I think Bianca Belair is one of those people who, I don't know her, but she seems to be more into athletics than acting. Now, Derek is saying, well, you know, China won awards for these adult films. Yeah, but we're talking apples and oranges, Derek. I'm trying to explain why somebody like Seth Rollins would potentially want to leave WWE for Hollywood and how it's harder for women to do that because they're held to a certain standard. The porn industry has no such standard. If tomorrow Roseanne Barr wanted to make a porn film, it would be one of the biggest films there because she's famous. And people would be like, got to see her film. I got to see it just to see it. Simple as that. I mean, should we give Paige an award for the film that got leaked? That was viewed more times probably than China's. So that's irrelevant. I mean, what was the name of the – I can't even remember the name of the girl that was in WWE briefly that was very masculine. And she made several porn films, and they were highly watched. And she couldn't get a job in Hollywood if her life depended on it. If China was around now, she could get some jobs being a Valkyrie or being a – superhero or something that didn't have much to say, but just had all kinds of action. But she's not going to get a typical role. And that's not the same for men to a certain extent. Let me give you a great example, Derek. Charles Bronson got Death Wish, and Death Wish 2 and 3 and 4, and however many ever there was. Not an imposing figure. He wasn't Kevin Nash. It wasn't like, okay, Kevin Nash goes stalking the alleyway, choke slamming bad guys. No, they didn't want that. See, you have the opportunity. Look at Keanu Reeves is John Wick. Is Keanu Reeves an imposing figure? Is Tom Cruise, is Jack Reacher an imposing figure at 5'5"? Or however tall he is? No. Hollywood can make you look that way. So they don't necessarily need you to be a big badass to make you look like a big badass. But if you are a big badass, they can't make you look like a little normal person. That's the difference. They can make a smaller person look like a bigger badass by simply hiring smaller actors and just making you look like $1 million in the fight scenes. Now, I remember in a movie called, struggling to remember the name of it, but it was a Steven Seagal movie where basically he was in prison. And some bad guys broke in. One of them was a woman. And she was like a badass. Becky Lynch could play that part, you know, where she was kicking the hell out of, you know, tough guys. And, you know, she ends up having to fight Steven Seagal. At the end of the movie, they had some behind-the-scenes stuff, and they asked her, what is your training? And she said, I don't have any training. I have no karate training. I have no training at all. They just put me on these harnesses. And they'd have me stick my leg in this direction, do this punch, and they do the rest with flips and, you know, trickery and things like that. I don't know how to fight. I have no idea what I'm doing. So, you see, they can make you look that way. And, by the way, she's all of, you know, 100 pounds, bigger in the movie. So the roles for those type of people are less. That's what I'm trying to say. Porn, that doesn't count. Because any WWE superstar, any one of them, including Piper Niven, tomorrow could do a porn movie and it would be watch. It would be big because people would say, wow, oh, that's famous. I want to see that. I know who she is, as opposed to just some porn actress. So that doesn't really count. The porn industry does not count because the porn industry will take you regardless. You don't even have to be all that attractive. You know how many porn films there are with grandmas? Porn films there are with, like, extremely obese women or whatever. There's every fetish imaginable, so it doesn't matter. But if you're doing a major motion picture that's got a big budget that you're going to put somebody in it, my overall point is if I'm spending $12 million on the new Captain America movie, and I can hire Joe Schmo to be the bad guy who's got a great physique. He's a real karate fighter. He can flip and do all of his own stunts, and he can look like a real badass. Well, how many lines does he have in the movie? Six or eight. Who else is going out for it? Well, you get Seth Rollins. He's got a built-in audience, and about 600,000 people are going to come see your movie just because he's in it. Oh, okay, well, I'll take him. Right? Of course you're going to. Why wouldn't you? Well, it's the same way with a porn movie. If you say, well, we have this beautiful blonde actress. She doesn't really have to act. But she's beautiful. She's got a perfect body. Guys see her on the, you know, box cover, they're going to rent the movie, right? Or, hey, Taylor Swift porn movie just leaked. Who's going to get more views? Taylor Swift porn movie is going to get more views because she's famous. And people are going to be like, shit, I don't even think Taylor Swift is pretty, but I want to see it. See what I mean? So, no, it doesn't work that way with the porn films, Tom.
Yeah,
You're 100% correct. Here I am. You're 100% correct about that. People are going to want to see in different roles, you know, like such as, you know, adult films. Like you said, if Taylor Swift came out, you know, in a porn movie, people would want to see it. People would hurry to hurry and go up and buy it. Just to see it, or go up on the internet to see it. I mean, honestly, you put Taylor Swift in a regular film, like, she's quasi famous, but I don't really want to see her act.
Yeah, I'm not going to belabor this point because I'm not going to get into an argument, but I just don't know what you're talking about, Derek. Oscars are not irrelevant. Porn people are not actresses. Porn stars are not actors. I don't know what would give you the impression that porn stars are actors or that awards mean anything in the porn business. If I film you with your girlfriend having sex, are you an actor? Are you just someone I filmed having sex? It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand the point. Point that we're trying to make is that wrestlers are basically actors. That's what they are. I've said that from the very beginning. If I film Seth Rollins having sex with Becky Lynch and it gets a bazillion hits and then they release it because they say we can make a bazillion dollars on it and they make a bazillion dollars on it and the porn industry says I'm going to give them the adult video award for selling the most, are they actors? Or are they just two people who film themselves having sex? It's a whole different world. I don't have anything against porn. I'm just telling you that if you're trying to tell me the Oscars are equal to the adult film industry awards, that is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Because those awards for the adult film industry are based strictly on sales and nothing more. I can name you a million people who won Oscars for films nobody's even seen. Your average person never saw the movie. But the film industry said, well, okay, it wasn't a major movie, but this was an outstanding performance. So even though you may not have seen the movie and it wasn't a blockbuster, we will give you the award because we do feel that you deserve it. The porn industry doesn't do that. The porn industry says, what did we make the most money on? Yeah, that's it. Jenna Jameson, you win every year. While she was doing it. So it's not the same. It's not the same thing. One is based on popularity. One is based on ability. Same thing with pro wrestling. If only the best wrestlers would ever achieve anything, then you would have never had Hulk Hogan be the champion. And Kurt Angle, I guess, would be the champion for life. Because he's legit, right? Ken Shamrock, Brock Lesnar, those guys are legit, right? So how in the world would you ever think that a guy like Cody Rhodes could beat Brock Lesnar? Couldn't happen. Put him in the UFC ring. See how long Cody Rhodes lasts. How long did CM Punk last? So we're discussing apples and oranges. I'm just telling you, China was not in major movies. And the reason she was not in major movies is, well, it's twofold, really. One is that they didn't figure that she was attractive enough. So they would only have her play very limited amount of characters, such as, like I said, a Valkyrie warrior or some kind of female alien or some, whatever. And they would have done that because she was China and she was famous. But as far as saying John Carpenter is going to put you in a movie, John Carpenter was not going to put China in a movie. Famous directors, now if Marvel was around big time when China was around, yeah, they might have put China in a movie as a bad guy, as a villain. They might have done it. Because she, again, it's so much easier for the director, isn't it? Can you imagine having to do what's his name, Drax or whatever, and you got to make who you'll make Drax? Well, Batista's perfect for it. He's the right size. He towers over all the other actors. You don't need to put on any muscle suit. He's already got everything that you need. So, yeah, he's a no-brainer. He's going to get the role whether he can act or not. Simply because he is the exact model of what you need. And he doesn't have that many lines. So it's not that hard. So if he's actually halfway decent at it, that's great. Second reason that, you know, you have a problem is China had a very unusual speaking voice. Didn't sound tough. That's why Mike Tyson's not in a ton of movies. And when he is, they dub his voice in. Go see, like, The Chinese Salesman, where he fights Steven Seagal. It's not even Mike Tyson's voice. They won't even use his voice. So this is what I'm talking about. When you get that wrestling, what we're trying to say, in essence, is that wrestlers have limited roles they can take. There are some, very few and far between, that can kind of branch out and be bigger than you thought. The Rock being the first one that I can think of. But guys like John Cena, who's done some light comedy and some other things, he's not incredibly huge either. And if you notice, he's dropped a lot of weight because he knows he's going to do mostly Hollywood now and not wrestling. Seth Rollins doesn't have that far to go. So, I mean, to be honest with you, if Seth Rollins turns out to be a good actor, yeah, he could be someone who seriously could make some movies. As opposed to, like I'm saying, Bianca Belair, where what is she going to play? Besides an athlete, besides a superhero, besides a supervillain, besides some kind of warrior in an apocalyptic film, you know, that's it. So that's the difference. But if Bianca Belair makes a porn film, well, it's going to get a lot of watches. I can guarantee you this. Go on any adult site and see how many hits Paige's porn thing has, and it probably has more hits than any typical adult film has ever sold. Ever sold. So that's the issue with the adult film industry. Anybody can be in that if you're famous. If you have a name, it doesn't even matter, as opposed to wrestlers where it does matter. I mean, nobody's going to knock on the door of, I don't know, a very minor wrestler and say, oh, you want to be in a movie and we'll make you, you know, no, because you don't have that built-in fan base. Seth Rollins does. Roddy Piper did. Hulk Hogan did. John Cena did. The Rock did. The list goes on of people who are saying, oh, I'm going to go see that movie, The Rock's in it. I'm going to go see that movie, Roddy Piper's in it. It's just smart for a director to do that. And I guarantee you that there are people, because I'm one of them, I'll go see the new Captain America film to see how Seth Rollins does. I'm not interested in this Captain America franchise anymore. I think Marvel shit the bed a long time ago. I haven't seen a good Marvel film in years. Most of them are disasters. But I'll go see this one because I want to see how Seth Rollins did. So they got me. So they get my $15 or however much it is to go to the movies now, right? So it works. It absolutely works. Anyway, Mike, you know, listen, by what we've seen from Seth Rollins, this sounds like it's a fairly easy job. What's he really got to do besides scowl and fight and maybe say a few lines, right?
Right, and think about this. When Cody Rhodes went and did Arrow, what happened? They didn't give him any lines. You know, he did all right, but they didn't give him any lines. Yeah, he talked with Stephen Amell, but they didn't give him many lines. All he did was do the fighting, right? And basically, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, and Stephen Amell are about the same height. You know,
yeah.
maybe Cody has an answer, maybe two on those other two guys. But they're about the same height. They're about the same weight. Cody and Seth are a little bit heavier. But Potato Potato, right? Oh, and by the way, that TV show that she did, that Charlie did, was called Psych. It was a movie. It was a TV movie. And basically what she did is they, if I'm remembering correctly, they didn't give her many lines, but they, her fight scene looked like $1 million.
Of course. Of course. I mean, wasn't it Lita who got hurt actually doing a fight scene on, was it Angel or Buffy the Vampire? I don't know which one it was, but she was on some show and did a fight scene and got hurt. They'll hire wrestlers to do that because it's just easier. It's just easier. Anyway, we'll see what happens with the Seth Rollins situation. My greater point in this is that it's harder for women in Hollywood due to the fact that there's a separate standard that is not applied to males. That's not me being woke. That's not me being, you know, whatever. That's me telling you the truth. Why do you think all the actresses get plastic surgery at 40? Not at 60, at 40. Because they say, well, if I don't look like I'm 20, nobody wants me. If I don't look like I'm 25, you can forget it. I'm not getting a role. Men don't do that. How old is Tom Cruise? Keanu Reeves. How old was Charles Bronson when he did all the Death Wish stuff? You know, it's a different standard for women. And it's always been, always will be. That's why I say Hollywood's hypocrites. They'll go around saying, we're woke and we're this and we're that. No, you're not. You're exactly the opposite. You're the ones who demand more out of the women. If there's anybody that's misogynistic, it's Hollywood, because they're the ones who are saying, well, if you don't look like you're 20 years old, honey, you're an old bag. Nobody's going to pay money to see you, honey, unless you get a boob job and a facelift and this, that, and the other thing. They don't do that to the men. And unfortunately, Derek has underlined the problem. So then what do? Go to the porn industry? That's not misogynistic, right? Sorry, honey. You're past your prime at 30. You look like you're 30. Get a facelift, a boob job, or go see if the porn industry will hire you. They don't do that to men. So men have a distinct advantage. Now, of course, there are exceptions. There are people who've been in the movies, you know, Meryl Streep and all those people been in the movies into their 50s and 60s and 70s. But those, again, what roles are they taking? They're taking roles based on movies that nobody's going to see as blockbuster movies. They're just those artsy-fartsy movies that senior citizens go to see on Senior Citizen Day at the movie theater for half price, right? Or the, you know, elites go to say, oh, what a wonderful acting performance here about three librarians reading books. Who wants to see that movie? Nobody. Sex sells, folks. You get a good-looking woman in a tight outfit and put her in a Marvel movie, and teenagers are like, whoa, I think I'm going to go see that movie, because that's just the way life is. So there you go. We'll see if Seth Rollins has the acting bug or if this is just an anomaly. You know, he's got a lot of good wrestling ahead of him. Remember when CM Punk said, I'm going to be a movie star. I'm in some horror film. How'd that work out? Didn't work out too well, did it? One of the top actors, as far as wrestling is concerned, who has been in some movies, but really low-budget movies, is Mick Foley. Mick Foley, fantastic actor. Fantastic. But the way he looks, there's only so many roles he's going to get. That's why you don't see him in a lot of movies, despite the fact he could probably run circles around most of the Hollywood actors today. Very good actor. Can be serious, can be funny, whatever you want him to be. Can't get no roles. It's not that different than wrestling. If you want somebody who's going to play The Undertaker, you're not going to say, hey, Johnny Gargano, can you put on this outfit and say rest in peace and see how that's going to work? No. Hey, R-Truth. No. Hey, Kevin Owens. No. It's got to be a very limited amount of people. There's a specific requirement. You have to be huge, intimidating, scary looking, and can wrestle in that really stiff style, at least for a little while, that was like almost wrestling a zombie when they first started. Well, they had two choices, Sid or Mark Calloway. And from what I hear, they tried out Sid. And Mark Calloway was supposed to be the Eggman, that thing that hatched on Thanksgiving night at the Royal Rumble that turned out to be the gobbledygooker. But according to Mick Foley, they realized this isn't going to work. Calling somebody the Eggman that hatched from an egg and having him be Mark Calloway is not going to work. And Sid as the Undertaker is not going to work. So they decided to do Mark Calloway as the Undertaker, and perfect, right? Perfect. See, certain roles make a difference. Could Kevin Nash get arrested as the Mighty Oz? No. Vinny Vegas? No. Could Scott Hall get away with just being Scott Hall in AWA? No. Diamond Stud? No. Nobody cared. Razor Ramon? Oh, people cared. It's the right role. When you get the right person for the right role, that's what matters. That's why I say porn don't matter, because it's just, if you're hot enough, you're fine. You don't need to do anything. It's irrelevant, totally irrelevant. Just, you can't act, who cares? Take your clothes off, right? So that's why I say it's different, because there's no roles to be filled. It's hot girl, well-hung guy. That's it. That's your two roles in a porn film, well-hung guy, hot girl. Are you a well-hung guy? Yes. Want to do porn? Yes, you're in. Are you a hot girl? Yeah. You mind taking your clothes off for the camera? No, you're in. As opposed to, we need a person who looks this way for this billion-dollar production, and you don't look that way. So you can't have this role. Sylvester Stallone himself said, I went out for a role in The Godfather, and they told me I don't look Italian enough. Can you imagine? This was before Stallone was famous. He said, I stood in line for hours to do a screen test, and they didn't even let me read for it because the very first thing they said is, you don't look Italian enough, sorry. But James Caan does. Stallone went on to be called the Italian Stallion. Apparently he looked Italian enough. This is what I'm saying. It's such a highly competitive. Porn's not that competitive. Nicole Bass was the name of the woman, okay? Nicole Bass did a lot of porn. She was far from attractive, in my opinion, and she certainly wasn't an actress. Didn't matter. She was unique. So people said, oh, well, what the hell? I'm going to take a peek at that. It's just curiosity factor. That's why it's different. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about AEW, because this collision show is now a go. And from what I'm being told, although things are back and forth with it, I'm told that CM Punk pretty much handpicked the people who's going to be on this show. So basically what we're looking at is Tony Khan telling CM Punk, well, if I create a whole new show for you and you handpick every single person on it, will you come back? My God, that's like a desperate ex-boyfriend saying, if I buy you a new car, honey, and I let you see other men, and I do all the cooking and the cleaning and the shopping, will you come back? God almighty. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like Jim Cornette here. I don't want to sound like some grumpy guy yelling and screaming, but what the hell is going on in the wrestling business? Do you need CM Punk that bad? What the hell? Has he proven to be one tiny bit of a draw? You put him on your show after I don't know how long, 10 years out of the business, and you got one good number, his debut. And after that, everything went back to pretty much normal. Everything went back to your normal viewership. Did he gain you that much that you want to literally give him another television show? And incidentally, you got a television show that's not doing 400,000 people weekly. You going to put a third one up? For what reason? You haven't proven you can get the second one over. Why are you doing the third one? And incidentally, if you're going to let CM Punk pretty much run the show, what do you think that's going to do to the other wrestlers, Tom, who say, well, I don't know, I was never given that opportunity, and, you know, I think I'm doing more for AEW than CM Punk. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
And you want to know something else? CM Punk, I'm not a big CM Punk fan. I don't like his wrestling. I don't like his mic work. I don't like his personality. And the fact that he, you know, basically, you know, he's not a draw. His debut was a draw because it's CM Punk. But, and the UFC thing was a draw because it was CM Punk in Chicago. CM Punk is so full of himself that they let him handpick the performers that are going to be on a third TV show that nobody's going to watch. Their debut might be pretty good because, you know, CM Punk. But if I was Tony Khan, you got to cut your losses. Be like, dude, you know what? No, you know, let's take a look at the second show. That's not going over. And your debut was great when you came back, but we went back to regular viewership. Your third TV show where you handpick everybody that's going to be on it cries desperation. And if I was Tony Khan, he needs to wake up, realize he needs to cut his losses and be like, hey, listen, Phil, we don't need that bad.
Well, the thing is, Mike, why didn't they just give him Friday's show then and say you can go ahead and be on Friday's show and handpick the people? We don't need to start a third show. We get the second one over.
You know, your guess is as good as mine, and I don't know. I mean, obviously he's desperate, and he thinks it's going to make a big difference. And here's the deal. When you've got a guy who obviously wants to lessen his career, but you look at his body in Dustin Rhodes, and Dustin Rhodes looks like he's in his 30s, whereas CM Punk looks like he's, what, 70? You know?
I don't know if it's quite that bad, but he doesn't look too good. But this, again, this is my point that I was trying to make before to the chat room. Did CM Punk get the feature match in UFC pay-per-view? Yes, he did. What did he do to earn it? Nothing. How many fights did he have? Zero. How many guys on that card had 7, 8, 10 fights? More than that. How many guys had better records? All of them. How come he got the main event? He got the main event because of his name. That's why it doesn't count. You didn't earn it. You were just famous. It's the same way with the porn industry. CM Punk makes a porn film with AJ Lee. I'm watching it. CM Punk is in a horror film. I don't really care. AJ Lee's in a horror film. I don't really care. That's the difference. So that's why I say, you know, you can't go by that. I think that Tony Khan is going to live to regret this. I don't think the ratings are going to be good. I think Tom is right. Initially, people are going to watch it because it's a new show. And they're going to tune in to see what it is. It's a curiosity factor. But if you can't get your Friday night show over, how the hell are you going to get your Saturday night show over? I don't see it. And I don't see CM Punk being able to carry this. It's, you know, and it's, even if you do, it sends a really bad example to all the other wrestlers who simply say, well, I don't know, let's see. I came in here, did everything Tony Khan wanted me to do, busted my ass, put other people over at my own expense, and I get shit on for it. CM Punk comes in, puts nobody over, tells people from the press in one of our most important press conferences of all time that the whole federation sucks and everybody in it is unqualified to be in it, and Tony Khan basically don't know what the F he's doing, and he gets rewarded for it. Think about that in your own job. Let's say you come in every single time they call you. So-and-so can't come in today. Can you come in? Yes, I will. Can you work a double shift today? Yes, I will. Can you do this today, that today, even though it's not your job description? Certainly, if you want me to. In the meantime, the guy who's calling out every 3 or 4 days, the guy who's taking vacation, is saying, I don't know, man. I don't want to do this. I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. And I need more breaks than just 2 a day. And I don't, half-hour lunch is not long enough because I want to go sit in a restaurant, so I need 2 hours. And they promote him over you. How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? You going to keep right on filling in for him? You going to keep right on working double shifts while he's sitting in a restaurant eating? Or are you going to say, well, this is ridiculously unfair. Screw this place. I'll go to some place who appreciates me and my hard work, right? Well, this is the problem I see with giving CM Punk the keys to the kingdom, is other people are going to say, well, this is just patently unfair. And if this is the way things work here in AEW, why am I trying so hard? Why don't I just be more like him and say, no, I'm not losing to this person. No, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to do this storyline. No, I'm not doing this angle. No, I'm not going to bust my ass for 20 minutes in this match. I'm going to do 5 minutes. Why would you not? If there is absolutely no point in busting your ass for a federation, when you see the people who won't do it getting ahead, why would you? See, this is the old argument against, the socialism to a certain extent. If you're sitting in class and you study and study and study and you don't even have a social life because you want good grades and you constantly get A's and the schleps who go out and party all night are getting D's and your professor says, well, we're just going to combine grades. So the whole class is going to be combined on a curve. So if 10 people get A's and 10 people get D's, then basically everybody gets a C+. Well, that's great for the people who went out and partied, right? Because they're like, hey, I was getting F's. Now I'm getting C+. But for you who is getting A's and studying your ass off, you're going to say, why do I have to work this hard so those idiots can go out and party and not even study? I'm not going to do it. And then you're not going to study. And then everybody's going to get a freaking F. Isn't that the way that works? So if I'm an AEW and I'm a guy like Miro who went over there and did whatever, or Andrade, or I'm a guy like, Aleister Black, well, you told me you were going to give me this, that, and the other thing. You gave me nothing. CM Punk comes in here and basically spits all over you and takes a big dump on your scrum. And the next thing you know, he's being given the keys to the kingdom and basically his own television show. Why in the freaking hell, Todd, would I work that hard for this federation?
Absolutely right there. Like you said, it looks like Tony Khan always kisses ass to CM Punk. Like oh, anyway, you're coming back. I'll give you the keys to. I'll let you produce and direct your own show and write everything and put yourself over, make everybody look bad. That's what it is.
I don't get it. I just don't get it, Mike. I mean, again, if you're working there, this sends you a bad signal.
Absolutely. And is it any wonder that we haven't heard hide nor hair of Miro telling his wife not to be saying, we're going back to the WWE? Because she said that several times, right? Lana has said, we're coming back. Basically, we're coming back, and probably sooner rather than later. Even though Miro is still under somewhat contract, and Miro hasn't told her to shut up about it, so obviously he's unhappy. We know Miro's unhappy. We know that. Aleister Black's unhappy. Much of these people are unhappy that got brought over from the WWE. I would assume that the guy that's in the House of Black with him. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Yeah, well, see, that's the whole thing. Remember when we were told by WWE fans, Aleister Black is so talented. Any other federation, he would be a champion and a top guy. He'd be the main eventer. WWE sucks. They won't do anything with him. Oh, Tony Khan is going to make him the guy. Is he the guy? So this is the situation. There's a lot of people who, let's face it, Andrade's the same way. Andrade said, I'm much better than I'm being portrayed to be. I'll just go to AEW. Well, they will appreciate how wonderful and marvelous I am, and they'll put me right up at the top, did they? No, they didn't. Keith Lee, Tom is saying in the chat room, right, Keith Lee. Well, you know, Keith Lee was a little different because I still say, I have no proof, but I still say that the WWE let Keith Lee go for no other reason than they were concerned about his health. I know that during the COVID thing, Keith Lee not only caught COVID, but there was something to do with his heart. And I truly and honestly believe that WWE made a business decision of what happens if something terrible happens in the ring? What happens if, I know they say he's healthy, but what happens if it's not true? And what happens if he collapses or worse? We're not going to take a chance. I truly think that's why they let Keith Lee go. I don't think it was because of we have nothing for him or anything like that. I think they got scared off Keith Lee. I really do. Miro, that's different. I truly believe that they didn't think they had anything for Miro. I don't know why. Everything was going great, I thought, for Rusev, but the WWE did not think that way. And to be honest with you, AEW's done almost nothing with him, especially recently. It's almost nothing. He'd have been better off being a jobber in the WWE than he is basically doing nothing in AEW and just wasting prime parts of his career. So I don't know. I know the shine has come off of AEW as far as this is the place to be. And we all should have known it when Cody Rhodes abandoned ship, because Cody Rhodes, you can say what you want about Cody Rhodes, he's not dumb. Cody Rhodes has been in and around this business since the day he was born. And Cody Rhodes can smell blood in the water. And you're never going to convince me that Cody Rhodes didn't see something that he didn't like at all and said, I'm out. Before things get bad, I'm out. While the opportunity presents itself, I'm out. This was the guy who literally created it. Tony, that's what people got to remember. Tony Khan came in later as the money man. It was Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega who said, we're starting a federation. Remember? Cody on top of it all. This was Cody's baby. And he abandoned the baby. And no one's ever given us a satisfactory reason why. Because Cody Rhodes is too polite to say it's a sinking ship or the inmates are running the asylum or whatever real reason he had. He's too polite to say it because he has friends there. That's number one. And number two, he just doesn't feel it's professional, and he's correct. It's not. Now, if that had been CM Punk, we'd have known the real reason, wouldn't we? But Cody don't do that. So Cody's just like, well, I had to come back here and test myself. Yeah, we know. But ever since Cody Rhodes left, if you notice, AEW has not looked the same way as far as the eyes of the wrestlers are concerned. You don't see people saying, oh, I want to get into AEW. I want to get into AEW. No, you don't see that so much anymore. You don't see wrestlers saying, I can't wait for my contract to be up in WWE so I can jump ship. You don't see that much anymore. There's got to be a reason for it. And I think some of the reason is what we're seeing right now with CM Punk, and that is Tony Khan is going to play favorites. He is going to I think Eric Bischoff is right. You know, a lot of times I disagree with Eric Bischoff. But I think Eric Bischoff is right when he says this reminds me of a well-financed hobby. It doesn't remind me of a business. It reminds me of a spoiled, rich kid whose father has all the money in the world so he can have all the toys he wants to play with and do what he wants to do, and it really doesn't matter one way or the other to him whether it's a successful business, it's not a successful business. He's just going to do what he wants to do because he's having fun. That's what it reminds me of. Vince McMahon himself once said, in talking about Ted Turner, there's absolutely no way I can compete. And the reason I can't compete is because I have to make money. My only real asset is pro wrestling. Ted Turner It's a very tiny portion of what Ted Turner does. So Ted Turner can literally say, I don't have to make any money. I can lose $5 million a year, $10 million a year, and write it off on my taxes because I'll be making it on 4,000 other things that I'm doing. So I can let this fester if I want to. I can give Kevin Nash more money than any wrestling federation would ever consider ever giving him just because I want to. And Vince McMahon had correctly said, if that's what he wants to do, then he has the money to run me out of business. Well, I'm not sure Tony Khan quite has that because his dad's not going to release all that. If it was his dad, I'd say, well, yeah. But he hasn't proven it. To me, he hasn't proven it. He's proven he can collect a whole bunch of names. I can do that. If I hit the lotto tomorrow and I won $1 billion, and I said, I'm starting Marcus Kane's Wrestling Federation, and I'm going to hire the following people. I'm going to hire AJ Styles at $40 million a year. He's gone. He's gone. I'm going to hire Roman Reigns at $100 million a year. He's gone. All these guys are gone. Now, am I going to make any money? No. I'm going to lose all my money. They don't give one damn if I lose my money as long as their paycheck don't bounce. Remember when Chris Jericho said Tony Khan gave me more money than anybody's ever even dreamed of giving me in my entire career, and that included in Japan? Should that not have been a warning to everybody? Wait a minute. How come he can give people more money than every other wrestling federation in the world? Because he doesn't care if he's losing money. Now, he got sweet TV deals, which especially this new one, which is going to help shelter him from losing a lot of money. But at the end of the day, these TV deals got to deliver. If Saturday show draws an average after 3 months of 400,000 or 500,000 people, I don't know what to tell you. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And then you got to factor in he has Ring of Honor. He's already dropped those After Dark shows or whatever that they were doing. It's just too much. AEW's become overkill. I would argue this, and I'm going to see if the panel thinks I'm right. And that includes the panel in the chat room. So listen close to this question. If AEW, just their main show, went to 3 hours long and was only once a week, and there are no other AEW shows, would you be more likely to watch it than try to catch all three of their shows every week? I know for myself the answer is yes, I would. I would be much more interested in it. Stretching it out of, well, I have Ring of Honor over here with some of the guys, so you'll have to watch that. And then I have Dynamite, and then I have the new show coming up, and another show. I can't watch all those. That's just too many. I can't do it. One show. Concentrate on your top talent, one show. Then I'm going to tell you guys a very interesting story, but let's start with Mike. Mike, would you much rather watch that 3 hours a week than you would 3 or 4 hours a week bunched up into 4 different days?
Yes, and I'll put it to you this way. Remember, for a good, I don't know, 3 years, that's exactly what WCW and WWE were. They were.
Yep.
Monday night, and that's it. That's it. They were Monday night, and that's it. And so, you know, 3 hours, two, at one point it was 3 hours for WCW, and WWF was, what, 2 hours, and then WWF went to 3 hours. It, SmackDown and Thunder didn't come out until much, much later. So...
No, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely correct. Derek is saying yes, he would rather do it. I'm going to get to Tom and Todd in a minute, but I want to tell you this story because I want you guys, before it gets taken down, to maybe go see this. If you go to YouTube and you hit WWE Live, I believe it's in Ohio, some guy, and it's totally illegal, and I don't recommend you do it if you go to a live event, but he taped the whole thing. Start to finish, he taped a house show. He had a pretty good seat, So it's actually very watchable. It's not terrible. And you saw the Usos take on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You saw Sheamus take on LA Knight. There were several matches during the night, including two women's matches. Natty took on Shayna Baszler. This is more – I had more fun watching this hour and a half house show because he cut out the in-between. I had more fun watching this than I had fun watching Raw. Sheamus and LA Knight went 20-some-odd minutes. It was an excellent match. The Usos and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, excellent match. Excellent matches. Way better. All the matches were highly competitive. Even if they weren't what you would call, you know, the top-level type matches, they were highly competitive and a lot of fun to watch. And I said to myself, I'd rather watch this than Raw with all of the nonsense. It was a lot of fun to see the guys really work. I know people say, well, the main thing is television. Well, the main thing is television, but I'm telling you, these guys work harder at the house shows. Sheamus and LA Knight went 20 minutes, and it was very good. Very good. Much, much better than you'd have seen on WWE television. And the fans actually got into it because it was so good. I wish the WWE would go back to that style where, okay, so you're only going to have 4 or 5 matches. That's fine. We don't need to see everyone every week. I think that's the problem. It gets old because it's just like, well, you got to have this spot, and then so-and-so's got to come out and talk, and then we got to plug this, and then this match, and we got to get a talk show in there, and we got to debut this guy, and we got to get 2 women's matches, or the women's movement will throw eggs at us. At some point, you just got to say, look, we're going with 5 matches tonight, 4 matches tonight. We're cutting out a lot of the hype. We're cutting out a lot of the nonsense. And we're going to give people good quality action. You know, they didn't pipe in any crowd noise at a house show, folks. And people were chanting, this is awesome, at Sheamus and LA Knight. And it was filmed by somebody's cell phone is what it appeared. It was freaking awesome to watch. So much fun. And I said to myself, this is why I'm a wrestling fan. I like this style of wrestling where it's not so controverted into TV time and whatever, and just let them wrestle. For God's sake, it is wrestling. If you went to a house show and you saw that, you'd go home happy. You'd go home saying, man, WWE's kicking. I had a lot of fun. Even the women's matches. Can you imagine Natty and Shayna Baszler? When they first came out, I said, okay, my head is going to explode because this is not going to be good. I know what it would be like on WWE TV. It was a very good match. I had a lot of fun watching it. They also had Sonya Deville against Shotzi. Excellent match. Never would have been a good match on television. Was an excellent match. Look it up on YouTube. Watch it. They'll take it down. WWE does not want you putting up their house shows. So you'll get a violation if you try to do that. But this guy did it. Actually, the WWE should leave it up. And I'll tell you why they should leave it up. A, crowd was fantastic. Loved every match. And rightfully so. B, the performers were excellent. That's your best commercial for people going to a house show I've ever seen. It makes me want to go to one. Now, if I'm just sitting around on Raw watching that nonsense where people are telling me that go to Raw, I have people from all over write me and say, Raw was in my town this week, and I sat there while this happened and that happened, and there were big lulls in between here, and I couldn't see this. These people were red hot all night long. I'd rather see this type of a house show than a Raw by a lot, because this is what wrestling is supposed to be. If you get a chance, Todd, definitely go see this because I'm telling you, it shows you that the WWE can put on great shows if they want to.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that show you said about the guy from Ohio, he was at that WWE event. Sounded like he had a good time and everything. And by the way you're talking about that, looks like sound like the quality is great, and he had a perfectly good seat to watch the
Yeah,
that
wasn't even a great seat, but it was a clear seat. Cody Rhodes fought Solo Sikoa, great match. I mean, this is what the house show circuit's going at, and these guys were really pulling out all the stops. You come away looking at these guys differently. You come away and saying, wait a minute, Sheamus can really, really work. L.A. Knight can really, really work. Sonya Deville can really, really work. Shotsky can really, really work. I mean, really work. There was much more psychology in the matches. It looked like every match looked like they were really fighting. Every match looked like this is an actual competitive wrestling match. And it doesn't look that way sometimes on TV, Mike. If you get a chance, definitely watch it. Take an hour and a half and watch it. You'll be glad you did.
Right. And it sounds like, I mean, look, we know how good a wrestler Natty is, but she's not allowed to show it. She's basically a preliminary wrestler right now, where obviously, once I get to see this, but from what you're telling me, she looks like, in that match, she looked like she could have been in the championship hunt.
I'll put it this way. Those two matches, I would have went for popcorn if it was on Raw. Shotzi against Sonya Deville? Yeah, that's okay. Tea break. I sit there and watched it, and I'm totally into it. I'm like, this is great. This is a really good match. I'm not even 100% sure who's going to win it, which it made it even better because I'm like, I don't know. They could have went with either one of them, right? Same thing with Natty and Sonya Deville. I'm like, Shayna Baszler, I didn't know who's going to win. So I'm like, well, this is fun. I will tell you this. L.A. Knight got some hell of a crowd reaction. They're missing the boat with this guy. Okay, Tom in the chat room said he found it. Post the link if you can, Tom. Post the link. Post the link on our Wrestle Chat page. It's worth everybody looking at because it's going to make you look at WWE house shows a different way. It woke me up. I didn't think the WWE was still doing house shows like this. So much fun. So much fun. Made me wish I was there. Crowd was loving it. Crowd was absolutely loving it. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown because we're getting to the point here now where it looks to be that our next big match is going to definitely be the Usos versus Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. We see what happened. But for the first time, I sort of agreed with Roman Reigns, which is an interesting thing that they wrote. When Roman kind of yelled at the Usos and said, why did you interfere and why did you do this? It makes him look like a prick. I get it. But then backstage when he said, I had things I wanted to say, I found myself saying, I would have liked to have heard them. I kind of get why he'd be mad. I would have liked to have heard what he had to say too. Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I think this is where Sami Zayn gets his receipt. I think Sami Zayn is going to pin Roman Reigns at Night of Champions. I think Sami Zayn is going to get that victory. It's not going to mean anything. He's not going to go for the belt or anything. But it's going to be the consolation prize of, Sami, you did everything we asked you to do. You lost at WrestleMania. You had the great run. Here's your receipt back for losing to Roman. You're going to win in this tag team match that really doesn't mean a lot. It's not going to be clean. But I think Sami Zayn is going to pin Roman Reigns. And yes, Sami Zayn will be there, confirmed. Apparently, Saudi Arabia, you know, decided to ease up their policy and they're trading again with, you know, the Muslim countries and things. So this is a step forward. And I think this is Sami Zayn's consolation prize. I think this is how the WWE is going to show them they appreciated, you know, the whole big run, and I think he'll be the guy that pins Roman.
I'll say this: the fact that they made some kind of headway and allow Sami Zayn, even though they were adamant about not letting him here, the fact that the WWE all organizations made that kind of headway is just that you know speaks volumes. So kudos to that, and for Sami Zayn to pin Roman Reigns, that's the icing on the cake right there. I I think that's what I was thinking about the other day, too, when I watched SmackDown.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Now, I don't want to give the WWE credit that they're not deserving of. I don't know how much was WWE. Saudi Arabia made the conscious decision to start trading and resuming talks and more friendly relations with these Muslim countries on their own. And because of that, they eased up the policy. So I don't know if the WWE had much to do with that. I do know this. It depends on how you look at it with Sami Zayn. Either Sami Zayn is saying, fine, since they eased up their policies and I'm welcome, I'm glad to go wrestle for the people, in which case I give them all the credit in the world. If it's, oh, I'm allowed in the country, fine, then I'll go wrestle even though I hate their policies, then he's a hypocrite. So it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. If it's, well, I'm just a minor player, so I can stand on my principles. Oh, I'm a champion now? Well, then, to hell with my principles, I'm going. Then that's different. I would like to think it's the first. Sami Zayn recognizes that they're easing up their policy and has decided that he will ease up his hardline stance as well. Because it was Sami Zayn who basically, I'm not sure he, if the WWE had pressed earlier, he might have been able to go anyway. I don't know. I mean, they let gay people and lesbian people go, right? And so I don't know. They didn't have to tell him what Sami Zayn's religion was. So I don't know. We'll see. But either way, he's going to be there, which is nice. I have no idea why you got LA Knight doing this thing with Rick Boogs. I guess maybe Elias is done. I don't know what the hell's going on with the WWE anymore. What I do know is that they better do something with LA Knight quick. He's not a young man, and he's over. He's over big time. He's over way more than they're showing you on television. As a matter of fact, you watch this link that Tom's going to post in the WrestleChat page, you will clearly see that unlike some people where they pipe in the cheers or pipe in the boos, it sounds like they're cutting the volume when LA Knight comes out because they don't want you to hear it. But if you hear this crowd live where the WWE has no control, you'll see what I mean. How popular is Sheamus? I would say he's extremely popular. The crowd loves Sheamus, right? Especially after all these hard matches he had with Drew McIntyre and Gunther. There's a part in this match where they're trading punches back and forth and they're doing the boo-yay thing and they're yaying LA Knight. I mean, that speaks volumes. And LA Knight's doing the best he can. He's like, you know, I used to live here in Ohio. And everybody pops and he's like, it was the worst experience of my life. I was like, I'll do anything to get the hell out of Ohio. People don't care. They like him. And the WWE needs to make some inroads quick on that, Mike, because, you know, he probably only has a few really solid years left.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, look, you know, this is a guy that is over big right now, right? So, yeah. They need to do that. They need to do that. And I'm going to take a look at this link in a little while after we get off, probably. Well, maybe later on tonight or whatever, but we'll see what this looks like. And look, you're right. If they're cut, if he's getting loud and if the fans are getting loud and they're cutting the volume, that's on the WWE, right?
I know. Isn't that disgraceful? That's basically saying we don't want you to cheer for him. That's disgraceful. I'll tell you one thing if you watch it to watch for, and that's this. I have a ton of respect for Sheamus. Because at house shows where it really doesn't matter and there's supposed to be no cameras, Sheamus could dog it. Sheamus could say, look, I'm not 100%. I have a lot of injuries. I got bad this and bad that. And I'm here. That's enough. We'll do 5-6 minutes. I don't have to work that hard or take that many, you know, bumps. It's just a stupid house show. He does not do that, folks. In fact, Sheamus works harder on this house show than I've seen him work on television, not pay-per-views, but television for the past year. It's just amazing. And it really made me respect the hell out of all of the workers because I'm like, they're working harder. They're working harder for just the fans, not the pay-per-view audience, not the TV audience. They're working hard just for this house. because nobody's supposed to be taping this. And to be honest, I said, Jesus, if the WWE taped that and released it, it would be more popular than what they're putting on Monday night. Because it's fun. And you can see how hard these guys are working. It gets old after a while to see they're not even breaking a sweat on a Monday night. And you're like, well, whatever, man. 5 minutes. In and out. So, yeah, Todd, I mean, this is, again, it makes me want to go to a house show.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it does make me want to do the same thing, too. And, you know, I'm going to definitely check it out later, probably later tonight, like Mike said. I'm going to probably see how the video went.
You'll love it. Don't expect great quality. You know, it's good quality. It's better than you think. But it's not WWE quality. It was done by a hand cam or whatever, but it's still, or a phone, but it's still really good. So there we have it, folks. So is Seth Rollins going to be the champion come next Saturday? Probably, but at least it's lowered my guarantee from 99.9 to about 95. So that's good. Is this Saturday night show from AEW going to work out? I would like to see it work out, honestly. I know people write me and say, you sound like you hate AEW. I don't. I really don't. I wish them a lot of success. It's just, it's aggravating to see what's going on. The show work. Make one show at a time work. And don't give one guy the keys to the kingdom when he's not even a guy who's much interested in anything other than himself. Because that never works. So we'll see what happens, folks. I mean, at the end of the day, I think you're going to be very happy with Night of Champions. I think it's going to be a much better show than we anticipated. Certainly, we will be back here. Obviously, we're going to be this is Sunday, so we'll be back here on Tuesday with the Raw Report. We will be on here Friday, and we will do the entire rundown for Night of Champions, and then we'll be back here on Sunday to give you the results and talk about it. Thanks for listening.
Fast ball and a high drive into deep left center field. It's away.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.